Extra, extra, read all about it.
RandomChatter.com presents...
Agent Carter, you are going to run S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agent Carter of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
I go to work.
With your hosts, Directors Shepard and Stolte.
You boys play nice.
I have orders for Agent Carter.
Calling all junior agents of the Strategic Scientific Reserve, it's now time for Agent Carter of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, brought to you by Delormier Rings. Show her that your love is never-ending. 100% solid gold, Delormier. Spellbinding jewelry at an affordable cost. I'm Station Chief Shepard.
And I'm Station Chief Stolte.
And today we bring you the continuing adventures of Peggy Carter as she fights for truth, justice, and equal pay. Join us each and every week as we marvel at Agent Carter and show you that we're in the know. So we are back for the penultimate episode. That's kind of what this one is.
The penultimate Eve.
This is the penultimate Eve episode.
Pre-penultimate? I don't know.
Pre-penultimate. That would be what it is. It is, well, if we're taking them in pairs, we are into the final quarter here. So the, I think the next two are, you know, we'll probably tie kind of closely together because we are definitely into the third act of the season and the, you know, Peggy's in danger and she got caught and all this other stuff going on here. So is she going to get out of it?
I think even the last half of this one is going to tie close. It's just going to be one big long, unless they take the last episode and, you know, she just, reminisces about all of her adventures and, you know, goes off with the elves onto a boat into the sunset or something like that. And it takes the entire episode,
it'll just be still photos of all the different characters we met on the episode and with little text writing out next to them saying, you know,
oh, there you go.
Chief Dooley went on to, marry a woman from Hoboken or something like that, you know. So.
Agent Thompson got a sex change and went to... No.
No, I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue. All right, so what? Why don't you tell us a little bit about the episode that we saw this week on Agent Carter?
All right, well, before that, I just want to let you know that I got you this diamond bracelet. This is for you.
Oh, that is so sweet.
Yes.
Wait, you know what? I think that makes me look like a floozy.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, I'll call you.
Gonna get they're going to get the wrong idea about me.
Yeah. You know, just wear it under your sleeve. Okay. Use it to cover up your
bruises.
Well,
it'll cover up the scar. So that's kind of cool.
Okay. Well, there you go. So that's why I got it for you. I also got you this red, white, and blue, what do you call it? A sweat bracelet. What do you?
Oh, sweatband?
Sweatband. Yeah, there you go. That'll help too. And it'll look good on the court. All right, I better talk about A Sin to Error. That was episode 6 of our almost over season. Agent Carter. It aired on February 10th of 2015. This episode was written by Lindsay Allen and directed by Stephen Williams. All right, now that Agent Sousa realizes the woman he's been looking for is Peggy Carter, then, you know, he has to catch her now. So, didn't really chase after her, I guess, does he? Just
tracks her down. Again.
So now Jarvis and Peggy are trying to track down a woman that Howard's met, who they realize is working for Leviathan, not realizing, of course, that it's really Peggy's neighbor, Dottie. The doctor that was brought back from Russia remains in the chief's custody while he tries to get any information he can about Stark, the technology, Leviathan, or how he can make his wife love him again. But Chief Dooley never realizes that the doctor is manipulating and actually hypnotizing him in order to get his own information for Leviathan. Now, once Peggy realizes the SSR is after her, she realizes she has to get away, but only after she reacquires Captain America's blood from her apartment. Now on the run, Angie realizes Peggy doesn't work for the phone company, Mrs. Fry realizes Peggy was trouble from the moment she set eyes on her, and Peggy realizes that Dottie has been using her lipstick. Will our heroes realize that Peggy is the one they should be listening to? I realize this all may be a little overwhelming, but we'll break it all down for you.
Oh, geez. Yeah, it is overwhelming. Hang on. I think there was just one thing I missed. What was the second thing again?
So, yeah, somebody realized something.
There was a realization realizing that, okay, yeah, well, all right, we'll cover this in just a second here. My gosh. You know, it didn't seem that crazy when I was watching it, but now that you've explained it, they covered a lot of ground in this.
Oh, episode. Yeah, I went back and watched, and it was kind of like the pace was finally, you know, upped in this episode a little bit. They're on the downward slope, so everything's speeding up.
Yes, definitely. Much into the, like I said, kind of into that third act push, you know, towards the, well, hopefully towards the resolution. I'm assuming it will resolve in an acceptable manner and not just, you know, tease us for a potential season two or something like that. So, but we'll have to see. Little bit of news. We got this is great. We got some actual news about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back. Since there's only two more episodes of Agent Carter, S.H.I.E.L.D. will be back quicker than anyone realizes. And Lady Sif will be returning from Asgard in the 12th episode. So the first episode back is the 11th episode. So we'll see her in about 4 weeks, I guess. So that's pretty exciting. It sounds like she might have a little bit of amnesia, which that's got to be kind of tough with an Asgardian. You've got a number of things to worry about if they have amnesia, I would think. So, and then we've got some information on at least one other new actress joining the cast at some point during the season, Drea Di Matteo, who the name sounds familiar. I didn't have a chance to look up anything else that she's done. I don't know if Josh, if you're familiar with any of her other
work. But she's was in The Sopranos, and I guess Sons of Anarchy. If you watch either of those shows,
watch.
Yeah, I wasn't a watcher of those either, but know about them.
I don't
them.
Watch them. If I'm not doing a podcast, I'm not watching them. No, that's just not true. So she's going to join other guest stars for the second half of the third season, including Blair Underwood, Edward James Olmos, and Luke Mitchell, who will be playing a character named Lincoln. Probably not the president.
No? Abraham Lincoln... Hydra killer, that kind of thing.
That would be, no? I would really, that would be cool. Maybe he has a lightsaber that he uses to take on zombie George Washington or something like that.
Hey, you never know. It's S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. That'd be good. So, all right. So that's just some, you know, some casting announcements, not a lot of other information about what's coming on the show.
No, but I'm under the impression that the actors are itching to get back.
It definitely sounds like it, just based on some of the interviews I've read. You know, they've got interviews saying, so, you know, Agent Ward, what are you doing for the rest of the season? He's like, well, I can't tell you about that, but we're having a great time, and I'm looking forward to getting back. You know, that's typical line that I keep hearing from them. So,
And Ming-Na, I know she's been tweeting a lot lately. So
she tweets a lot all the time.
She does tweet a lot all the time, but it sounds like, yeah, she's anxious to kind of start talking about it again and get back into the habit of talking about S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. Cause she, I know she enjoys live tweeting and, it's interesting, I'm kind of curious to see just how much they've been shooting. Obviously they took some of this 8 weeks off or 9 weeks here, whatever it was we've got. I would think that, you know, they've probably been shooting for a little while here at least. So just to get some footage in the bank. So to speak there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you want to talk about, Ascend to Air. I think that's what we should do tonight. Sound good?
Yeah, that sounds good. now the title intrigued me.
Okay. Yeah. You found some really, this is a really interesting, it's not a theory. It's not a, I don't know. It's, what would you call this?
It's got a little history behind it, I guess, is how you'd say it. I could find about, the phrase, a sin to error, came from, something called a nihilist cipher.
Okay,
so if you're into cryptography, you know that a cipher is something that people use to ascend, I don't know, secret messages, you know, so they're not, if they're intercepted, people won't know what they are.
Yeah, it's encrypted text, basically, as a cipher, I would guess.
And so you need a particular cipher to translate what's said. One version of this nihilist cipher that was around back in the, late 1800s and during World War II, a couple people, let's see what their names are here, Clausen and Foote. I don't know what their full names are. Max Clausen and Alexander Foote. Okay.
Oh, okay.
They came up with this idea of this cipher. I won't get into it too much. It was actually pretty complex. But the way it started was by taking the most common letters, the most frequently used letters in English, as the top row of this cipher. So those letters, I guess, according to this, are A-S-I-N-T-O-E-R. And if you put those all together, it spells out a sin to err with only one R. So the if you add the extra R, if you add the extra R, it kind of makes more of the word, a sin to error. So I just thought that was kind of interesting, and because it came from a cipher and it came from some Russian background, I thought it might be relevant. Hmm.
I would imagine that's where they got it. You said it was Max Clausen and Alexander Foote that devised this. Cool. So when they wrote the cipher, it was kind of like a footnote.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah. Good. And a Clausen note.
Well, that would be, Clausen is obviously a reference to the pickle pocket that Dottie wants in her purse.
See,
because
it's Clausen all,
pickles,
it's all
of course. And I'm sure we can work the Illuminati into this somehow. Or Leviathan. So whatever it is. So, well, that's really interesting. Over the break here, I had seen the Imitation Game, which is about the deciphering of the German cryptography during World War II. So I hadn't even really thought, you know, it's not like there's anything specifically that they talked about in this episode that relates to it, you know, other than the title. But the fact is we've got Russians, you know, it's about spies. The show is about spies. So
sure. Well,
I think that fits.
Now, Peggy has decrypted a code was that the last episode? I think, right at the beginning of the last episode before they went to Russia. And And then now there's a little bit of code signaling
in
this episode.
Yeah, there's is that
what he was doing
or something?
It looked like he was doing
a dot dot dash, you know, with the swiping of his fingers, and she was doing a light version of Morse code using the flashlight on her scope.
Right. Yeah. So that I knew that's kind of what she was doing. I was trying to figure out if he had some other
kind of
code,
but
that makes sense. And then, you know, also if you think about if you know, not in the context of this nihilist cipher here, a sin to err. All right. So it is a sin to make a mistake. It is it's bad to make a mistake. So who made the mistakes in this?
Julie and Thompson and Sousa.
For sure. Dooley made a couple mistakes there.
I think everybody is guilty of making some mistakes, except for the bad guys. It seems like the good guys, the SSR, were seeing things complicating for them because obviously they don't know the forces that are beset against them.
Yes.
Yeah. Peggy made some mistakes. Jarvis has made some mistakes. And the other agents. So.
Right. And so I kind of thought a little bit deeper now, I won't get into the preview for next week when it clearly ramps up even more.
Hint, hint.
But, it seems as if SSR, it was not quite to evolve to the level that, like, this Leviathan was, as far as the spy game goes, you know? It almost seemed like they were just your standard police force, almost. Other than, you know, trekking across the world, going to, where did Dooley go? Germany?
Yeah. He went Nuremberg, yeah. He went
Nuremberg,
to Nuremberg,
right.
Germany.
And so, you know, other than that kind of stuff, it didn't seem like they were much more than a police force. But now they're dealing with these bigger things that they really kind of refused to listen to Peggy about how important and big some of these things were. And so, yeah. To me, I thought, man, this is SSR right there. They've made the biggest sin to error is they just don't realize they're not maybe as good and powerful and on top of things as they thought they were.
That's a really good point. Evchenko in this episode mentions that Leviathan has been around since after the Great War, which is World War One. So from late 19-teens to, you know, early 1920s, it's been around. So a good 20 years longer probably than SSR. It seems like SSR is a specialty group that was put together for the need of the Allies during World War II. I don't recall hearing anything, even in Captain America, about SSR having been around prior to that, I guess. Right?
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. So, I think that's a really good point. Yeah, and obviously at the level that you know, this game is being played at, one mistake can cost you a lot.
Yes, big time.
And, you know, we saw that with, you know, last week it appeared that Evchenko was a dissident that they were going to bring home and help out. And this week we find out that he's actually he's not. I mean, he used the excuse of being rescued last week, and I'm kind of wondering how, if that whole event in Russia from the previous week, if that had played out slightly differently, how would he have gotten home, right? Because obviously SSR was called by the mystery typewriter basically to go to Russia. And, you know, at this point, it seems like it was a complete setup from the get-go.
Yeah, just to get him inside SSR.
Right. And then we also find out, so up until that point, we think, like I said, we think he's a dissident. We see Dottie pulling out her sniper rifle. She has just got, she's got so many different dirty tricks.
Yes. Yes. Yes, she does. But
I mean, I was just going to find it convenient that the dentist was looking for, you know, hygienist or something like that.
Yeah.
That just happened to be across the way. But maybe, you know, maybe she knew that from looking in the newspaper or whatever.
Well, you know, I would say she could probably have looked in that building at any possibility of something going on in that building, and she would have exploited anything she could have found. So it could have been that, or it could have just been an empty apartment. I mean, I was okay with me. Well, although sad for the dentist, but just quick note to self. Don't fondle Dottie's leg.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, unless you're into that kind of thing.
unless you're into having a dentist drill embedded into your skull. Hey. Hey, everybody's got something.
Different strokes for different folks. You know, it's it's better to assume diversity. You know, that's what I always say. But up until that point, you know, it looked like she was maybe going to take revenge on him for attempting to work with SSR, and then we find out that they're actually working together. Which, first off, I think Ralph Brown's doing an amazing job in this role. If I hadn't figured out who he was, I would have thought that he's Russian. I mean, that's like, it is kind of an over-the-top Russian accent, but I don't know. I mean, it seems like he's doing a pretty good job with that. I wouldn't have thought he was, you know, this British actor that they cast in the part. But, you know, British people always end up playing the bad guys, I guess, right?
So. Well, yeah, and hey, sometimes the good guys too, especially on Walking Dead, that kind of thing. So, all right. So, my question is though, mm-hmm. how did Dottie know that Evchenko was there? I mean, it didn't appear that he has been out of SSR custody since he's been back.
I got it.
Okay.
Peggy talks in her sleep. No, that's probably not it. I don't know. Because, I mean, they would have brought him back and probably, you know, they probably got a safe house for him somewhere. But how is he communicated to Dottie? We don't, I mean, obviously nothing that we've seen.
Or has he communicated to Dottie? Okay, so maybe there is something else going on in SSR.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a mole?
That's...
If there is, can the doctor remove it? What, you know?
The doctor was working with the mole, obviously. So, that's a good point. So, we've talked about our feelings about a number of the SSR agents, and boy, they're all the ones that have been named. They're dropping like flies. You know, it's like, oh, we had Krasmensky. Oh wait, no, he's dead. We had Yauch.
Hey, Yauch, what's up?
And now he's gone. So we're down to Souza. We're down to Dooley, and we're down to Thompson, and of course Peggy, and then the guys in the lab. But you know, those aren't any like regulars or anything like that that we've seen for multiple episodes.
That's Doctor Guys in the Lab to you,
Doctor Guys in the Lab, and he's Flemish. So I think that like Dooley was acting weird for a while. I thought there was something suspicious about him, but I don't really get that. I'm not pursuing that one, but yeah, Thompson is weird. And again, maybe they're trying to throw us off of some other trail by making some suspicious movements of different characters. But I definitely thought that Thompson told Yauch to mind his own business, you know, basically because Yauch was saying, boy, Dooley's been in there a long time. That's weird. Usually it doesn't take this long. And Thompson's like, hey, dude, mind your own business. You know, just and it could have. I mean,
that could have come from it could have come from the conversation he was having about his wife.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because wasn't that right after he was kind of coming out of his almost trance?
No, it was when they were having the drink. Right before the first trance.
Oh, okay.
Right before he was starting to hypnotize Dooley when Ivchenko was trying to do that. And now you could look at it. I mean, and some people may look at it as Thompson's just a more senior agent. He's saying, you know, he's telling a more junior agent, you know, it doesn't matter what the boss does. He's the boss. So don't worry about that. Just follow orders and, you know, do your work kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. You know, there's that suspicion in there.
Well, I mean, he's on the top of my list. I mean, I can't think of anybody else as far as a named
Souza
character.
Being weird. I mean, you don't think there's anything off about Souza in any way?
No, I don't. I kind of think he's kind of the moral compass of the male agents, you know? Yeah, but if you look at Thompson, I mean, first of all, he was in Russia with him. He came back with him. He could have contacted Dottie if that was the case.
In Russia, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, right. You know, and he's a guy that had the opportunity to contact her. He said a few strange things. So if they would pull that out, I think Thompson would be on the top of my list. I don't think they'd use some unnamed one, although they did with Yauch. That was
Yauch.
His name, Yauch. Yauch.
Yauch.
Okay, I can't get it either. Sorry, Yauch. Agent Yauch.
I don't know.
May he rest in
Yauch.
Peace.
I'm just going to call him Yauch.
You know what? That's actually more appropriate for this particular agent. Yauch. Oh, man. Oh, what a way to go.
You know what's funny? He just got a haircut, too. It was kind of a flat top. What?
So I don't know if they'll go the whole mole route. I mean, they may just brush that off as they, you know, here's another possibility besides having someone in SSR let Dottie know. Maybe the Russians called Dottie on her magic typewriter or whatever she has. She has a magic coffee machine or something. I don't know. Maybe it's a, maybe it's of a variety of, you know, magic appliances that they send with their Russian agents. But
Magic Lady Kenmore.
So maybe they said, okay, look, you know what? They took Evchenko with them, so be watching for him. He'll probably show up in the building across from that dentist guy, you know, or something. But still, it seems like he knew she was going to be there. It seemed like Evchenko knew that Dottie was going to be.
He was looking for her.
Yeah.
I mean, he was looking for something. Yeah. And so, I mean, it was brilliant setup, right? It's like, all right, I'll be in the building. I'll pull up the window shade at the office that you need to do something at. You know, it's like, you know, he's calling total attention to this is where it is. But again, I'm not sure what they're thinking. A sniper is going to take out Dooley after he hypnotizes him to find out stuff. And what, in the mayhem, I guess, Evchenko takes off and.
Now, do you think her intention was to take Dooley out? Or was
maybe
that
just provide cover fire, I guess.
Maybe. I took that as kind of a just something for us as an audience to build suspense. But really, she was just communicating with him. But she had the rifle. It's a strange way to do it, but.
Yeah, I guess.
There was a lot of conveniences in that section of the show. Even, you know, her writing down the. The code was probably not really necessary for her. She probably could have just done it in her mind. That was strictly for us, so we knew what he was saying. But
right.
But it's okay. It's okay. So no matter what they do, it was creepy. I don't you agree? Just focus. Focus.
What? Yes. Oh,
focus.
Yes.
You agree with me.
Oh, yeah.
You will agree with everything that I say now.
Okay.
Focus.
Yeah, of course.
Keep the focus. Watch my ring.
It's pretty.
Okay, now let's talk about the doctor and what he was doing to Dooley.
Okay.
An agent
red shirt.
What was
he doing to do? An agent red shirt.
Sorry, agent Yauk.
Yauk. Yeah, that's it. Yauk. I believe. I put it phonetically as how they had spelled it, but I agree with you. I think that you're right.
Well, good. Excellent. Well, that worked. I should have told you to do something after that. Go get me a coffee.
I agree with that, too, Josh. You should have told me to do something after that.
Dang. It didn't work. I shouldn't have skipped the middle of that YouTube video. So how was he getting this guy? How was he really, really good at this, and how can I use it on my students?
So, What on one hand intrigues me about things that they do in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter, and also infuriates me, is that they take ideas from the Marvel comics, but it's not really an exact element from a Marvel comic. So there are a number of characters that have used hypnotism, you know, and have devices to do that. Probably the most famous one that I can think of right offhand is the Ringmaster, who appeared, I believe, as early as Avengers number one, and he hypnotized the Hulk into believing that he was a circus performer. You are looking at me like you have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I have never heard of this, but it sounds awesome.
it's funny, but he's got a ringmaster hat, you know, a high top hat that's got
of course he does
hypno wheel on it, and he can you know.
I miss that. I really do. I know that would be hokey and people wouldn't like it, but
right. So
a part of me that misses that.
And I was discussing this with a couple, or mentioning it, you know, mentioning the ring thing to a couple people at work, and it's like, I don't know if it's just that because I mean we you know, he touts his credentials. He's been saying. For last episode and this episode, he's a psychiatrist. I am psychiatrist. I am not engineer. I do not know from little girls or anything like that. But so he is really good with reading people. I mean, he's like, oh, you've got your toothbrush, your razor. I see a pillow. your picture's down, obviously you're having trouble with your wife and all this stuff. And so he did all of that without doing anything with his ring. So I don't think there's a it's a mechanical device of some kind. I think it's just, you know, an element that he can draw attention to, that is something for someone to fixate on. And I find it kind of hard to believe that Dooley is easily hypnotized or mesmerized or whatever you want to say about this, but I don't know.
Well, it's a plot element. He's clearly good at what he does, so maybe there's just a little more to it. Maybe he'd been kind of working him for a while.
Maybe it's the cadence of his voice and the pattern of his speech, and it just, you know, it all overwhelms and puts him in trance.
They'd been in there a while. He was Dooley was emotional and tired, and
they were drinking,
right?
Yeah.
Now Yauk, he's a little easier to manipulate.
Yeah, but he's. I'm confident. You could be. You could be very confident. So,
yeah, that would be me. See, they would get me right away. I'd be like, ooh, pretty ring, shiny. What do you want me to do?
I want you to go and then step in front of a truck. Right.
Oh, that's so sad. You couldn't just tell him to forget it all? He had to, wow.
Yeah, and I doubt we'll hear anything else about it. I mean, there might be something on next week's episode where they're like, you know, I think that may be one of the things that helps Peggy out, right? It's like, well, why did Yao step in front of a truck? And, oh, wait a second, where's Ivchenko? So, you know, he just kind of disappeared. And what I've made some assumptions about the item that he's looking to get, but what were your thoughts on that? Because we know Dottie took that picture of that crate last week.
So you're like, what he's after, like his ultimate goal?
Yeah, he said he needs more time to get the item, change of mission, go kill Peggy Carter.
So he is in like something specific.
Because he was looking, you know, he had the map, he had Yauk draw him the map, and how do I get into this lab, and show me the exits and stuff like that. So do you think... Okay, so the intriguing thing about this series is it asks us, at least at this point, until they say previously on Agent Carter, when they put everything together for us, it really is having you put a lot of the elements together yourself, I believe. I don't think they're making things as clear cut. For example, you mentioned... In your opening bit, you said that Peggy and Jarvis are trying to track down a woman that Howard met, not realizing, of course, that it's Peggy's neighbor. Now, I didn't feel that was super clear. I think it could be, but they were looking for this woman, Ida Emke.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that's just another alias that whoever... this woman that is also using the alias of Dottie Underwood used? Or do you think it's a second woman?
Well, I guess it hadn't occurred to me that it might be a second woman. I don't think so, though. I think that's just... Okay. And remember, Dottie hasn't lived there very long. She hasn't lived by Peggy very long.
No, I know. Oh, no, I know. It totally could work. I mean, it totally could be this woman hooked up with Howard, got the bracelet and stuff. And what's interesting is we haven't seen any of Dottie's stuff. Like, I don't think in her room we've really even seen, I mean, because it was like nighttime when she was going to bed last week or the week before when she handcuffed herself in.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see much. And of course, when what's her name?
Angie.
Thank you. I was going to say Lindsay. When Angie went in, you know, everything was gone. But so it's totally conceivable that this woman that is Dottie was also masquerading as Ida, met Howard, seduced him, you know, did the whole thing, stole the stuff.
Which was, that doesn't require a super spy. That seems like it could be pretty easy.
Yeah.
All that might take for me was a blonde wig and a dress, I think, and I could probably do it myself.
Oh, for you to seduce Howard?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe shave.
Just maybe. I'm not sure he's that picky.
But she could have stolen the stuff. But they also, you know, they made the big fuss at the beginning of the series that maybe it was Leet Brannis that had stolen everything and taken it to the boat. But maybe that was a setup. I don't know. It's
or maybe she's
and maybe
just somehow
really
involved.
You know, yeah, it's all a MacGuffin kind of
plot but
anyway.
However, listen though, if she was the one involved in that, she would know what's there. You know, she would know the items that Howard had, and so they would know specifically what they were looking for. If there was one thing that they really really wanted for Leviathan. So,
oh, I see. Well, she could have set up the. She may not have stolen the stuff, but she could have set up and kind of. What do I want to say? Case the joint.
Yeah, or oh, that's true too. Yeah, or she could have stolen it, and you know they got it back now, so they need whatever it was they really wanted. So, I think somehow she was involved as this. Ida MP. Okay, yeah, I think somehow. She was involved as that person with Howard's tech. Either she was the one that stole it or she at least saw it. So they're looking for something specific that they now want. What it is that they're looking for, I don't really know. I mean, they haven't really gone into a lot of detail as to what they have other than the things that they've already kind of taken care of, right?
Right. And the one thing, of course, that has been made uber important to us but we have absolutely no idea or no confirmation that Leviathan is even aware of this, but it would be Steve Rogers' blood.
Exactly, right. So that would be my guess as to what they're after.
Which would have worked great for SSR because Peggy was keeping it in her apartment. So if Ivchenko was coming to SSR to steal it, of course, it would not be there. But because of all the duplicity that's going on with Peggy, she puts it in her purse, she gets knocked out by Dottie, and then the agents take her back to SSR with her purse. So now the thing that wasn't at SSR is now back at SSR.
All right, so ready can I make a little side conversation somewhere about that real quick?
Sure.
About the little container there, the little, Return of the Jedi thermal detonator that they're keeping.
Blitzkrieg button.
Oh, yeah. That. okay, so we saw Peggy hiding that a couple weeks back in her wall.
In the wall, yeah.
Right. And I thought, oh, well, that's a good idea. You know, she's going to plaster that thing up and, you know, make sure it's all safe. Okay, so this week we see that, no, she just pounded a hole in this brick wall and set it right inside. I think she put a brick back in front of it, you know, but it was a loose brick.
But
it
there was no wallpaper or plaster or anything.
No.
Yeah.
No. So, okay. And either the picture was off when SSR came in and they saw that, which could be the case.
She took the picture off, left it, pulled the brick out, took the thing, and then she was looking at it longingly.
Right.
I love you, Steve. And then, boom, they were coming up the hall. So
at least she didn't start kissing it or something. But I was thinking last week when Dottie went in and was searching her apartment, you know, when she was off in Russia, that she didn't find it because it was covered up so well.
What had a painting hang over it, and she didn't think to move the painting because
really a super spy that has been trained to kill and do anything she can since birth. Doesn't think to look behind the painting. She looked in the hidden drawer underneath her underwear, for crying out loud. She doesn't look behind the painting hanging on the wall.
But it was sad clowns. It was, I don't know.
Okay, that was that bothered me.
There were a lot of conveniences, like you said. The show is going where the show goes, and I think they seem to raise stuff as red herrings in order to make it a tension. Like you said, with the, is she going to shoot Ivchenko? Oh, no, they're working together. Looking back on it, but that scene doesn't really make sense, like we discussed. So, I don't know. I think there's I think there's a lot of that.
Well, and I can look past a lot of that because I really don't mind that kind of stuff. I mean, number one, in real life, there's so many minute details that you don't know about that lead up to whatever you see every day that I can choose to be okay with that stuff. But the hole in the wall thing kind of bothered me when I saw it, because as soon as I saw that hole, I'm like, whoa, she didn't, wow, come on now. Yeah. I mean, she's smarter than that. She should have at least, I don't know, cut the patch of wallpaper nice and then put it back, or paint it over, you know, put a little Wile E. Coyote tunnel on it or something. I don't know. So when Dottie goes to get it, you know, she goes and the train comes and hits her.
I would think there might be something more about that, but I kind of feel that that boat has sailed. I mean,
no, that was more of more of a nitpicky complaint by me, but, okay. So but now SSR has Captain Rogers' blood, right?
Yeah, but they don't know what it is. They haven't opened the ball. All she has to do is say, oh, this is a really dangerous weapon. She can just pull Howard's story out about it. I don't know.
Then why would she have it? Then she'll be in more trouble.
Yeah.
I think
how's
she
going to get out of this? Is the
I think the time for honesty the big thing. Has come.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to believe her, but once everything comes to pass, they're going to kind of see what's happening.
So, well, yeah, of course, at some point, like as soon as they realize Evchenko's gone and there's going to be an alarm that goes off or something like that, I think they're going to realize that, well, they're probably going to leave Peggy, but then go off to fix, you know, or to capture Evchenko, but then they'll realize, like, what was going on. What about Sousa's line to Peggy where he says, don't run? He doesn't say, you know, they'll know you're guilty. He says, I'll know you're guilty to her. Do you think if she had, like, just stood her ground and waited for, you know, everybody to come and take her into custody at that point in the alley behind the automat, do you think that would have changed Sousa's mind at all? Or has he made up his mind?
No, I don't know that he's made up his mind. Otherwise, why did he let her go? Why did he let her go in the first place? He could have shot her.
Yeah, and she knew he wasn't going to shoot her. Like you said, he's kind of the moral compass for the menfolk at SSR. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
I
was actually surprised that he kind of let him chase after her so fast, but I guess that makes sense. I mean, he would do that. He would do what he thinks is right. And you know, plus they could catch her without having to shoot her. So that is good for her.
Right. We don't want to, we don't want to have the character shoot her and stuff like that. We can have her, she seems to know a lot of moves. Like, where did she get her training? I'm guessing the British Secret Service or MI6 or whatever it is, whatever they would have had during World War II, trained her differently. Like, she's got these judo moves that SSR agents are not trained in. They're kind of just, I've got a gun, I'm going to step right up to you, and then she does a couple throws and knocks him down.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think, like I said, that's some of their faults, is that they're just not prepared yet for really what's about to happen, I think is, you know, probably going to evolve into what becomes S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but, yeah. I mean, at some point, so we know that Howard is instrumental in starting S.H.I.E.L.D. So obviously there's something that leads to Howard, you know, being cleared of this, obviously, and getting, I don't know,
but
the ear of a senator or something like that, maybe, to start S.H.I.E.L.D. Because, you know, that seems like, at least from the Agent Carter one-shot, that's kind of a separate, you know, level. Like, he's so much higher calling down to get her to come up and start S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, from
right.
the ranks of the SSR.
Yeah, but there's something within SSR that is has got potential for what his vision ultimately will become. But that's, like I said, that's down the line. But Yeah, I don't know where she learns her moves, but that was it's pretty good. She took a night class.
So, Thompson had said she put three of their agents in the hospital, which are basically the ones that would be in the diner in the automat. Now, she asked Jarvis just to go block the door, make sure nobody else comes in, which he does. With some help from her, but he also smashes a glass vase across some guy's head, and then he smashes a guy across the face with a dining tray, and a cafeteria tray, I guess. And then he goes off, and they're going to meet at this Dublin house, whatever that is. Was that? I think that was one of Stark's residences that. They had met at previously. I don't remember.
That was
but so he's
line in passing,
right? So they kidnap her because she's on her way to this place. He's already there. He's going to get in some trouble with the SSR. I mean, that's I think he should have stayed out of it, but he seemed to be very excited about taking part in the whole.
Yeah, I did.
Ooh, very exciting. You know?
I didn't think about that. How they're going to come. After him, too, probably. Or they should.
Yeah, I mean, well, because Thompson knew that Thompson saw him in the alley. And then when Carter knocked Thompson out, Jarvis took off, and then Peggy ran into Sousa. So Sousa's not aware of it, but Thompson is... You know, I'm sure we'll remember that.
And she didn't kill Jarvis the agents in the diner. They were all there. So, I mean, just because they're in the hospital, they could still go, hey, yeah, get that English guy, too.
Right, right. So, I just don't... I'm sure by the time we see the last episode or at some point next episode, there'll be a lot of things that kind of become clear and we'll go, oh, yeah, and so this puts together. But, and like I mentioned earlier, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're, you know, you and I are sitting here trying to connect a lot of dots here. For this, but it's really more like a MacGuffin, which is, you know, just sort of it's not important what is driving the characters forward. Like, you know, they're after some item. Well, is it Steve Rogers' blood? It probably does not matter in the end. It's just something, you know, we need to just know the Russians are after something that SSR has that was stolen from Stark. I mean, it feels like Steve Rogers' blood is the most important thing that's going on out there. And, you know, how are all these characters involved? But, again, maybe it's not really that important. I don't know.
Well, I think maybe something that would have strung these 8 episodes together eventually in a little bit better way for us as we watch them one at a time is that, like you said, that one MacGuffin that we kind of know it's all headed towards. So each episode has been very, very separated as there was a climax and something important that, got resolved or almost resolved and led to one other that they could look at the next episode. You know what I mean? I mean, first couple episodes, it was, she's got to find this one thing for Howard, or she's got to find the stolen tech. And then she found the stolen tech, and then she's got to do something else for him. And she's, so I think it is kind of lacking that one single string that puts it all together. So you can ultimately get it to the end. They've kind of been leading us along with breadcrumbs as we go, which I think is what also Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does. Sometimes to a fault.
Right. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I mean, if you recall, and we had this criticism on our podcast for that, was slow to get going. I mean, and granted, they were waiting for the big reveal from Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And Agent Carter being a new show, you've got a different group of producers and actors and writers and directors than are on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., trying to put stuff together. And so, you know, they're learning how to work. So, I mean, we've watched the first 6 episodes they've ever done. And I think they're good episodes, but they are still learning how to work as a group. The creative people are learning how to work as a group. Even though they've done, you know, they've done other stuff before and all that, the producers and things like that. It's just,
well, and I'm not saying I'm really enjoying this show. I think it's a fun show. I think it's got a great portrayal of women in it. That, you know, kind of exciting actiony portrayal of women, and it's a period piece, which I like a lot of things like that. You know, so
I do. Yeah, I enjoy that.
So you know, it's not a huge criticism, but it is something that I've kind of noticed within this, and one of the things that you and I have been maybe critical of compared to other things on the show, which we've liked that weren't related to the, you know, the kind of disjointed kind of idea of a story overall. Having said that, it almost does kind of feel, and I like when comic book shows do this sometimes, it feels like, you know, your monthly comic book. In this case, you know, we get an issue of the show each week or so. And, you know, in that case, it does kind of feel like especially some of the old Nick Fury S.H.I.E.L.D. type spy action shows.
Yeah, it's more of a spy thriller style comic than a superhero comic. And
right.
I would like, I mean, I'm a little jaded. I would like a little more superhero in my superhero comic book or in my comic book shows, but
and they have the potential for that, especially when it connects to today's S.H.I.E.L.D. and it's got the history that's it's in the same universe, you know. And it's got some, you could use this history for this show to connect some really cool modern day alien and superhero type stuff. So they should – I agree with you. I think they should throw that stuff in there in this one. And it could still be a spy action thing with a little bit of meta, or I don't know what you'd call it. But
Yeah. I mean, I hope that there is some connection. I can't – a friend of mine has basically dropped the show. And it's only 8 episodes, so he's not feeling like he's missing out. He's like, is it getting better? I'm like – It's slowly getting better. It's coming to a climax, but then it's almost over too. So, he's like, well, is it connecting to S.H.I.E.L.D.? And I'm like, I don't see Carter connecting to S.H.I.E.L.D. I see potentially S.H.I.E.L.D. referencing something that happened in Carter, like Captain America's blood shows up in S.H.I.E.L.D. now, or something else, you know, something like that.
Or they mention somebody.
I can't even guarantee that at this point. It just doesn't seem right.
Yeah. And so. Again, I'm enjoying it. It was a good little side story for me to enjoy during this long break and for us to talk about. So, you know, not overly critical of it. Those are just things that maybe I would have preferred to be a little bit different.
As a guy that has a house full of women and daughters, how are they? Do they watch it with you, and how are they reacting?
They do. Now, they haven't seen this week's yet, of my two daughters, my wife's been keeping up on it, and she seems to enjoy it. Although it hasn't been as enjoyable for her as some of our other shows, especially Flash. They're really into Flash. My youngest daughter likes it more than my older daughter for whatever reason. I think it's the strength of the woman in it. She's kind of into that. She's a very strong, independent, you know, strong-willed girl. So I think that she likes that part of it. But even the three of them, they've been watching it with me every week, but yeah, they're just kind of lukewarm on it. So just, okay. You know, be totally honest. I'm probably enjoying it a little bit more than them.
And as you mentioned with the strong female character, there was an interesting little reference in this week's, there wasn't too many comic book references that I found. There were people that were making inferences about things. Like, for example, the heavy boy with the lollipop that came out and was kind of bothering Jarvis is... looks a lot like there was a character called Herbie, the Wonder Boy or something like that. And basically he's just this weird fat kid that always sucks on a lollipop and it's just kind of strange. So there was a, you know, that made me think of that, but it wasn't any kind of, again, direct reference. But I had to look this up because I am not familiar with the text that Angie was reading in the diner, but she was reading from a play by Swedish playwright Henrik Ibsen called A Doll's House, which is about, you know, it's a, I think it's early 20th century, maybe late 19th century.
Yeah, that's right.
Is it, which one? Late 19th
it's, century? It's late 19th century. He died in 1906, so he wasn't around much in the 20th century.
Okay. Yeah.
Ibsen, anyway. The playwright, yeah. Ibsen.
Right. And so it's basically about a woman that, you know, kind of leaves her husband and children and becomes a strong, you know, is a strong-willed woman. And it's one of the earliest plays about kind of female independence. It says here in the Wikipedia entry that Ibsen was inspired by, quote, that a woman cannot be herself in modern society since it's an exclusively male society with laws made by men and with prosecutors and judges who assess feminine conduct from a masculine standpoint, which is great. I mean, that's exactly what the Agent Carter show is about. It's a very meta sort of statement within the show, about the show, and about the characters in the show. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Huh. And then,
if you want to, see the movie, A Doll's House, there is a movie, Doll's House, that had Jane Fonda was in it.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen it. I'm just mentioning it.
Okay. Yeah, we do not endorse that. and then Peggy Carter said, "Into the Breach," when they were going off to search for the women that Howard had slept with or given bracelets to, at least. I think that's implied, giving bracelets to someone, quote unquote. But
is that what the kids are calling it these days?
The "Into the Breach" line is from Henry V by William Shakespeare. So it's actually "Unto the Breach," I think, is the exact version of the quote. But a lot of people use the phrase "Into the Breach," which is where that came from. So interesting episode. I was less excited by this one than last week's. Howling Commandos just, you know, really make an episode. And this was a little step back, but like I said at the beginning of the show, I think between the next two episodes with you know, the penultimate episode and the finale, those will step up their game, and they will probably be really quick and fast paced and stuff like that.
Yes,
hopefully.
Well, I'm excited to see kind of the finale and where they lead it.
I have no idea where it's going. I mean, I've read the little blurbs because they've released the, you know, like the cast list and the little blurb, and it's like, you know, Peggy fights for the truth. Okay, it's great. That doesn't tell me anything about what's happening on the last episode here. So, but we will be here to tell you about that information, and just keep tuning in over the next couple weeks, and we'll tell you all about that. But for now, that's the end of this week's episode of Agent Carter of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
And we hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, make sure you leave feedback for us on iTunes. Also, if you want to make a comment on anything we said or share your thoughts, you can contact us by email at shield@randomchatter.com, or you can visit Twitter. We're on over there, at Agents Podcast. Also, you can check out our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/agentspodcast.
And if you're interested in hearing the other shows that Josh and I do podcasts for, you can listen to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, also available at randomchatter.com. All these shows, too, are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you enjoy the podcast, please be sure to mention us to your friends, coworkers, neighbors, random people on the street. So, for Agent Carter of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Until next week, bidding you adios. Auf Wiedersehen. Aloha.
This
podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agent Carter can be found at abc.go.com. Agent Carter and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.